Welcome to this episode of Keep the Hotel Empty. I'm your host, Eric Paul. In studio today, we are grateful to welcome in photographers, videographers, and operators of the Nature Compound, Zach and Brian of Nature Studios. In this episode, Zach and Brian discuss with us how they got started individually, what brought them together, and some of what it takes to capture the true vibes of any performance. Please enjoy. Welcome to Keep the Hotel Empty. Today we've kept the hotel empty to welcome in photographer, videographer, producers of the Campfire Sesh, Nature Studios Own, Zach and Brian. Welcome, gentlemen.
What's going on?
Thank you for having us.
Yeah, man.
It's so good to see you, man. It's been so long.
It's been a minute.
Seems like it's been forever since I've been able to see your beautiful face. It's
been like a year or so, two years, maybe even longer. Yeah, so. Well, everybody's been busy in between, and that's a good thing. So that's kind of what I want to get to. I know you guys got a lot rolling right now, but I want to kind of start where you guys start independently. Mm-hmm. When a camera gets into your hand, how you go from I'm Zach to I'm Zach with a camera, and then we'll get that from you, and then I want to hear how you come together.
Go ahead.
I'll go first. A little long version, or you want the short,
wrapped up version? Yeah, yeah. Because you weren't set out to be a photographer. This wasn't you when you were a little when you were a little kid. You weren't saying, "Oh man, National Geo, here I come."
Absolutely not. It's so weird how the universe just works its way out and finds what you're supposed to be doing in life. And it was crazy. STLR Media, my buddy Craig and Eric had a little online station back in the day, and I went on there just to do a little work on some sports shows and maybe pull some different guests on, maybe some music bands or whatever it was, basically like a booker for them. And it was just funny how it worked out. My first person that I pulled into the studio there for an interview was Sarasota's own Summer Survivor's own
Paul King. Nice.
Like literally, maybe one of the only people I wrangled into the studio, but it happened to be Paul. And from there on out, like I just forged a relationship with Paul King, and he's one of the most influential people in why I'm doing what I'm doing right now is because of Paul and how he got me into this. And basically, he got us backstage to do some interviews with some artists and such, and we had a photographer that we brought in for the weekend. Said photographer is a beautiful human being, Greg Cruz. Shout out to Greg Cruz. He does a lot of homeless work in Sarasota, so he got an award from the county, from the city.
Very cool.
It was Saturday of Rise Up, I believe it was 2017.
And we had early in the Ray Rise Up world too.
We had no photographer for that day. So basically he's like, here's the camera, I'm gonna put it on auto for you and just go at it. So I did. I basically just point and snap, like just sprayed and prayed, as I say.
Yeah.
He ended up editing the photos, came out halfway decent. But that day I fell in love with concert photography and basically gigging.
But even driving to the festival that day, you have no intention, no inkling you're going
to
take a picture.
I'm there to party.
Yeah.
I'm there to have a good time. I'm hanging out backstage for the first time in my life. You know, I'm just living it up. I'm living it up. But then to get to the pit and to be able to fire some shots for the first time was a beautiful thing. And I fell in love with it and just started running with it, basically.
So who was the first artist you took a photo of? Do you remember who the first one was that day?
That day, I believe it might have been Ayaterra.
Do you still got that photo logged away somewhere?
No, the funny thing is all those shots that I took that day ended up going to Craig, and he ended up editing what, you know, he thought was worthy, and then giving it to Craig and Eric and then Reggae Rise Up. But no, I never actually got to see a lot of the photos that I took that day.
Crazy.
Yeah, it was really crazy.
But it felt good enough. Didn't even really matter what they looked like.
It didn't. No, it was one of those feelings like I was trying to get this station back to kind of do some interviews and get backstage, you know, and kind of mingle with some of the artists and create some content for us. But it just opened up a whole new door for myself to start creating content that I didn't even know I had in me, to be honest with you.
So that's how you get camera in hand.
That's how I got camera in hand. Yeah.
How'd you get camera in hand?
Oh man, that was, I started in 2015, started studying and doing like some nature photography.
Oh, cool.
And then by 2019, I went to Reggae Rise Up for the first time and just fell in love with the whole music scene right there. Then met Bata and was like, you know, I want to get into shooting music. And then he's like, you just got to do it. Manifest your destiny right there. And
And then Bada did the same thing to me, by the way. The same exact thing. So, if it's not Paul King, it's Bada Scott.
Both of them we've
had.
He
literally said the same thing to me. Visualize yourself backstage, interviewing these artists, getting backstage. He even said, having a spliff, smoking a spliff with me backstage.
Yeah.
And I, the next year, I just was focused on that, and he got really focused on that, and the universe just kind of opens up for you.
So, when by the following year, I was shooting Reggae Rise Up.
So when you started, it was nature photography that got you into it?
Yeah.
You were here in Florida then?
Yeah, I moved down here like in 2010, it was, and then by 2015, I started photography. Like, I was doing construction my whole life. I ran a boat detailing business and things like that.
Same as I too, construction.
Started buying camera gear, was like thinking, you know, getting into it, but like, you know, just had
what was the inspiration for that?
Just travel. When I got kicked out of Virginia and moved down here, it was really just like traveling and like getting around and going to see my kids. I was like, I just want to capture it all.
Documented.
Didn't really have pictures of me when I was growing up. Sorry about that.
No, you're
didn't have pictures of me growing up. So I was like, you know, I want to start documenting it now and getting all the pictures now. And so started as just that, but then I just fell in love with it more and more as I was growing into it.
So you guys both take your separate paths getting there.
Yeah.
How long till from when you're taking these pictures you didn't think you were going to take in till now you're booking yourself as the photographer for the events? How long did that take?
Well, we both started at different times, right? So I started probably, 3 years before you did?
Like 17, I was like 19.
Yeah, running around with you guys, the Utah, Summer Survivors, you know, doing my own thing. A lot of free stuff. Not a lot of just getting a portfolio built up. Then I met Brian. And Brian was the type of guy, and I get a lot of this, and a lot of photographers and videographers probably get this too. They get their friends and people they meet kind of reaching out to them, say, hey, like, I've got a camera too. Like, hey, if you need some help, like, let me come shoot with you. I can take pictures too.
Right.
And it's like, and, you know, you look at that, you're like, okay, kid, like, do it on your own. Do it how I did it. Like, I'm not going to. And that's basically what I said to him. I was like, here, this is what you got to do. Reach out to the artists. Reach out to the management teams, record labels. Get your media passes like I had to get mine. Build your relationships like I built mine.
Take those
road
trips.
Do it on your own, kid. Yeah. And I told this to Brian many times. I was mean to the kid. Like, I didn't give him a chance.
It was kind of funny. Like, him and Phil both, like, I was reaching out to them and, you know, some other amazing photographers around here. Like, them two, like, really stood out. So I reached out to them, and they kind of blew me off. But, it's, you know.
But that's the industry. Nobody's out there to give you a shot. Yeah. You've got to show that you deserve the shot.
Yeah. And then.
And then you do it.
And then I run into him at the pit, and it was
was it at Benoit?
Revolution.
Yeah. Soldier and Revolution. Was it that show?
It was.
You know what it was? It was Revolution, and I think Collie Buzz.
And at Benoit. And Phil and Zach were both there, and they're like, "Yeah, you earned your spot here. Like, you made your way here."
And we're talking about Phil. This is Phil DeSimone. I say this in front of everybody, and I embarrass him all the time. This is the GOAT of photography, concert photography. In my mind, he is the bee's knees. We brought him in as our head photographer, so any festivals we do, he runs our photography for us.
Yeah.
He is the shit. So anybody listen to this, go check out Phil DeSimone on Instagram. Yeah. It's Kafilka Fish. That's with the K, Kafilka Fish. It's like some kind of play on words, I guess.
Yeah, right.
Gotta check him out. He's really a cool dude. He's done a lot of work for like big artists, shot for like Taylor Swift, Rod Stewart, Rolling Stones. So like, He's a kid that's really doing it right, and we love Phil to death.
Yeah.
But getting back to the story with Brian, basically I shoved him off. You know, I just pushed him to the side. You got to do it on your own. Well, Brian's
got
some
muscle. What point were you at in this? Because you were just freelance at that point,
I was
right?
freelance. Yeah. I was picking up gigs every now and again. I was getting paid and stuff, but mostly I was just like shooting for Summer Survivors at Rise Up and stuff, doing the small gigs, getting free bands, you know, just to go in and shoot. And
so the grind of that was a couple of years.
It was like 3-4 years for me. I didn't start making money and actually gigging and making money from our gigs till we partnered up. And how we partnered up was just basically we realized we were two like-minded individuals, and to be able to find another person that's as like-minded as you and understand the grind and the hustle, that you have to put in, because it's not an overnight success, and we are nowhere near where we want to be.
Right.
Yeah. And we're not saying we're the bee's knees by any means, but we've hustled a lot to get where we're going. And it's hard when you start from the bottom and have to build up the equipment and stuff and the cameras and stuff. You're talking tens, $11,000, $12,000 I've spent on gear.
That's just him and the hours to match.
That's just him alone. I mean, together we got like 30 plus grand in equipment and stuff.
And we're nowhere near scratching the surface on what we want to have or do. Like, you know what I mean? And
well, that's a good thing. That that keeps the drive alive.
But the hustle is what brought us together. It's like we were like all working the shows, and I was like, what? You know, there's no reason we should be working against each other. We should come together. And I was like running Natural Photography and Framing. He had Sakari Photos.
Right.
And, you know, we were just like, let's just join it together and, you know, come up with something else. And we came up with the Nature Studios.
So you were doing framing, too. Tell me about that.
Yeah. We started the business Natural Photography and Framing, and I was doing photos and framing. And we have, like, a CNC. We do some woodwork, like carving and stuff. We've done some wedding plaques and, you know, some plaques on the walls for some customers. And then, you know, the framing of the pictures that we do. So
it wasn't just straight event photography even out of the gate.
No, it was kind of weird. Like, his parents moved, like, literally 5 minutes away from where I lived at the time, about 2-3 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
And he wasn't in town. Like, we were friends from shows. Yeah. But when I found out he lived, like, literally 2 minutes away as a co-pilot, I'm like, bro, let me come over and just come chill. So, of course, Brian's down. I come over and chill. His dad's cool.
Yeah.
You know, light up, start smoking and stuff. Yeah. And then he starts telling me about what they're doing at the house and how they're rebuilding and remodeling and everything. So literally from that day forward, I have not left. I was there every day helping them remodel, rebuild the studio shop, the compound area. And from that day forward, we've been partners and we've been grinding not only at the studio and compound trying to build that up, but also our business as well.
So how do you get from blowing them off evolves to I see you,
I'll tell you
grinding in the same spot as me. How long of it is between you first see him in the pit to you've gone there for one day and you never left? What's that road like?
Well, okay, so what it was with Brian was, and I've had this, like I said, people reach out and say, hey, look, I can help you. And, you know, I could take photos too, and I want to do this.
Right.
The thing was, is he had to do it on his own. And he had the drive to do it, and that's what I wanted to see before I partnered up with anybody. You know,
that before
was
he said you were coming over and not going home.
Exactly, but he did it. He had the hustle. He went out there. He got his first media passes up in Virginia for Common Kings and the movement.
Oh, nice.
Started taking some photos. Granted, shit photos. He'd tell you today. Not good.
So you started concert photography and event photography before you got here.
I was up in Virginia just on vacation and going up to see my kids. And one of my friends were like, yeah, you know, they knew I was trying to get into the scene. They're like, I know the movement and I can get you in, give you a shot. And the next day I was posting some photos and the Comic Kings were playing that night. They're like, you want to come do some photos for us? And I jumped right on it. And by the time I was back here in Florida, I was joined in with Top Shelf Music out of California.
Nice.
And that's when I did the Revolution show and joined them. And
yeah, so was he was working for Top Shelf, basically getting photo passes to go shoot free
and write free articles.
An article for the magazine and stuff like that.
Yeah, so I started with that and was just going and going and going, doing all kinds of shows for Top Shelf, and at the same time, like, figuring out how to build my own and, you know, get that all going for ourselves too.
So for both of you, a lot of it in the beginning was taking everything you could do to build these portfolios, make these things.
It was like that at the beginning of Nature Studios as well.
Yeah. Okay, so
one job in particular we took with Pepper, Fortunate Youth, and Slightly Stupid over in Coco.
Coco,
free show. Mm-hmm. Give us a couple passes. Yeah. We're going to go up there. We're going to shoot some video on our brand new 6K cinema cameras that we just got.
Yeah.
We just want to build some content up, basically.
This is first gig as Nature Studios?
One of the first real video gigs.
When we invested into the new cinema cameras, we did the Reese Brothers here locally, and then we went over there to Coco and
did Serenation locally. Yeah,
so this was first big step.
This is first, Pepper.
Yeah. Slightly Stupid. Big steps with the cinema cameras.
Common Kings, all huge bands. Yeah. This is out in Coco. The videos we did there basically catapulted us forward.
Yeah.
The Pepper video we did.
So what was that night like? What was the drive over there like? What are you thinking?
this is how awesome this is going to be, basically, yeah. To be able to work with such a big band like Pepper. And the reason why we got that Pepper gig is I was working for Reggae Rise Up in-house that year at the festival. And
here in St. Pete?
Yeah, and I shot a lot of stuff at Pepper's set, and I absolutely destroyed it. Like, I'm not one to, like, toot my own horn. If he'll tell you, I say
it was a good day.
I say all my stuff is shit, absolute shit. Honestly, like even today, I'll be like, "Oh, that's shit," but it's actually like halfway decent. But I shot some really good shit for them. Like got like some good fisheye shots of the drummer and like
nice
Kaleo coming up with a fisheye like right up front of the stage. Just some really good shots, and I sent it into them. But started building that relationship from that day forward. Getting that opportunity to go do some free work for them over there in Coco just exploded. We started handing that to bands and be like, here, check this out. This is what we can do for you. Throw you a really good deal type.
So that kind of became a calling card for what the next step was.
Exactly.
Yeah. I mean, then when you get bands like Pepper and Fortune Youth sharing your videos out there, you know, and I mean, it's just really been blowing up. Like, it didn't take long. As soon as we got these cinema cameras and started working together.
Nowhere near where we want to be.
We're not doing this full time.
Brian's full time, basically. Yeah. I still have a full time job. You know what I mean? Yeah. I still do both. It's still a grind. It's still a hustle. Yeah.
But, like, every day we're studying and working on new tricks and adding new stuff all the time. Like, it's never ending.
So when you're watching the footage back that you got from that first big show in Coco, what's going through your head?
A lot of criticism.
Yeah. Yeah,
just like, criticizing your better? Work.
Always. Yeah? Yeah, everything we do.
And usually it's me criticizing him. bro, you need to stop doing this and do this. Like, you're doing too much of this. Hey, can you just, like, switch it up and do this, but then also do this?
Oh, good.
I'm very critical.
I was going to say.
He takes it very good, though.
I was going to say, good, you got a partner in crime that can take it with some grace.
Yeah.
It's good criticism, though. Yeah. You know what I mean?
I always go the extra mile doing some extra stuff, too, you know, like, just, you know. Taking, you know, trying different things, you know, adding new effects to it, you know, new tricks to the shots, you know, just trying to go the extra mile, learn new things, you know.
What's
some of the biggest stuff that you've been able to learn from each other, both coming from where you were your own entities to now having a team of two?
We teach each other a lot. I think it's a self-learning system with us because, he got into video a lot sooner than I did, so editing and stuff like that. So when I came on to Nature Studios, I knew dick about editing video. He taught me everything that I know now about editing, clipping, transitions, all that kind of stuff. So I owe a lot to him as far as that goes. Now we're kind of on the same level playing field, and we can kind of
Taking over the coloring, like, because he went the extra mile, kind of learning the color a little bit better, and I was like,
that can
really
be tedious.
Coloring. I was like, you know what, you just run that, and we do the editing a lot together. But he finishes up with a color.
So as far as that goes, you've learned a lot from each other technically because you're doing everything in-house, the two of you.
Yeah. That's it.
Yeah.
Everything. Yeah. I mean, when we set up Campfire Sets, which I'm sure we'll get into soon.
Yeah.
I mean, literally, that's and shout out to Sugar Shack. One.
Yeah.
Let's give them some props. A lot of we've heard a lot of things about us that we were copycats and we're biting off of them and – But we give so much respect to those boys and what they've done.
Well, there's 9 billion people in the world.
Yeah, come on.
There's room.
But they've got so many guys over there doing great work.
Oh, yeah.
They got an amazing team.
It's literally just us doing it. So when we're setting up lighting, setting up camera angles, and also when we're doing the campfire sesh, we're not doing it kind of like Sugar Shack does because there's only two of us operating cameras. So to provide multiple camera angles, we got to run multiple takes.
Yeah. Right.
So it's like –
not a full one take completely, but we're working on adding more gear and more equipment to everything, and we'll get to that point. But you know, right now we're working the best we can with the two of us, and we're still pulling it off. And I mean,
like for us right now, it's about just making good content.
Yeah, yeah.
Trying to get our content
and get better and better every time. We criticize the work each time we make it.
What parts of your workflows have been able to change now that you've got another person to help you? Where it's not you'll be able to tell the story that it's just the two of you instead of it's just me.
Yeah.
I mean, our workflows definitely have changed. I mean, it's evened out, I guess. But like I said, it's only two of us, so our plates are full. When we're both gigging and working events and stuff, we go to work in the morning, we get off, go to a gig, and then the next day we're editing, whether that's photos or videos. Like, a lot of people think, like, we just go there, have fun, and we're just out there partying and shooting
the camera.
And that it's all fun to us. But they don't understand that when we're done shooting those fun events – then got to go home, convert the 4K video to be able to work into Adobe, and then work it in Adobe for about 8 hours, typically for a video or two.
Yeah.
It's crazy and amount of work.
Yeah. And that's not all that bad. It's just that it isn't a...
It's not a snap of the finger, for sure. I mean, you know.
Yeah.
With the production, look at this production you got going on here. Yeah. This is a beautiful thing here.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, thankfully, I got a help. I got yeah. two of us. Yeah.
You guys are doing a great job.
There's, and there's times where we're able to bring in, like, help, like Phil and Battiscat for audio or Brennan for writing. And, like, when we're running different events, we're able to bring in a little extra hand. And that helps us out a lot to be able to say we can just focus on video and we know Phil's going to crush the photos. Or, you know, Brennan's got the writing or Bada's got the audio.
Yeah, that's the thing. You know, Nature Studios is not just me and Brian either. We're just the owners of it, the co-founders of
it. The nucleus.
Yeah, but we brought in Phil to run our photo team.
Yeah.
We've got Brendan to do our writing. We brought this
What do you mean by writing?
Well, we do a lot of stuff on our website. Yeah. We'll do gallery for events like and recaps. Stuff. Like, say, the Comic King show last week, Thursday. Yeah, yeah. He did some photos. Brandon did a write-up of the event, basically. Yeah. And it's just people who have been there or people who were there can just go there and kind of relive the experience through our photos or video.
So part of what you'll provide or you aim to provide or already do by the sound of it is Nature Studios is do the full recap. You're not talking...
Not every event, but a lot of events we do.
We do like well, you're able to.
Yeah. It's like I said, it's just us doing everything. So if we choose to do it, if we feel like putting that on our plate, then we will.
And yeah, because that's not only are we editing all the photos, editing all the video, then we're building the website and putting all that together. So it's a lot to put together. But
okay. Well, I don't mean to Tarantino a bit, but let's go back to where you go to the property and you start working for the first day because this is what developed. This is where you do the campfire sesh, correct?
Yeah.
So talk to me about how that day one develops into some of these things you got rolling.
Well, I mean, me and Brian are friends, and I went over there to go hang out, basically. It wasn't wasn't anything but just a hangout.
It's
maybe
not like I asked
him
to come help or nothing, but
you started from dead square one. There was no...
Yeah.
Talk to me about what campfire session looks like, what it is, how this goes from a spot in the ground to what you're doing.
Okay, so basically the yard is about a quarter acre of the backyard. It's very lush with oak trees and oak tree canopy and plants and stuff like that.
Beautiful property, yeah.
There was caveman fire pit, probably... 4 feet in diameter, made of rock and glass and nails and just a whole bunch of stuff in there.
kind of remind me of like up in the mountains, we used to go sit around a fire and play music and like just drink and stuff. And so we were looking at that and we're like, we need to make a campfire session, like do...
Well, hold on. No, let's back up a little bit.
Yeah, because we didn't have the name or nothing.
First, it wasn't campfire session. It was poolside session.
Yeah, because we do have the pool.
And that was the first thing we did was a poolside set for Joey Calderaro. I'm not sure if you're familiar with him, but an artist from the other coast.
Mm-hmm.
And that night we ended up doing a campfire session as well.
Yeah.
That was a spontaneous thing?
It sort of was.
It was. Because we did a couple music videos actually on the property already.
At night, around the fire.
Island Asylum.
Yeah.
And we did a couple of music videos on property already. And then Joey Cotterell came by and we were like, we can run a poolside session and a campfire session. But when we actually shot it and we were editing it, we were like, the poolside session is not ready yet. Campfire session is where we need
to. But at that time, we didn't have the campfire built. We just had that caveman thing.
Yeah.
So we literally dug up that 4 or 5 foot diameter rocks and just nasty stuff. Like 5 feet of ash with nails and glass and everything. Yeah. Dug that all up, poured a concrete, probably 2 foot thick concrete slab, and then built with bricks a 10 foot diameter fire pit.
Dang.
This is the 10 foot. This is not small. This is huge.
Yeah.
And then from that 10 foot diameter fire pit, you've got about 8 foot of sand that goes out.
So you've got
sand encompassing this big, huge pit. And what we do is
on
one side of the fire pit, we'll put some chairs and stuff for the band to sit.
Right.
And on the other side, I'll be filming. And then Brian will be filming from another angle. Now, though, a new thing we just incorporated, we just got done finishing.
Yeah.
His dad just got done building was... a tree, basically a bench made out of oak tree that we cut down. We cut down a bunch of trees just to clean up the property and stuff to make it safe. And
this is here in Sarasota?
This is here in Sarasota, right down the road, 12 minutes away.
Okay.
But he built this bench that will encompass half of a circle, basically, and it's all made out of 100% oak tree wood slab.
Right there from the property, too.
It's beautiful.
Very cool.
It's sanded down.
And then we filled in the cracks with some orange resin.
So it kind of looks like fire and stuff.
Nice. Yeah.
You'll have to check it out. It's hard for me to describe, like, just talking about it, but it is a beautiful bitch. It's lacquered up. It is absolutely gorgeous. I can't wait to put that and add that into, because when we're doing the campfire sesh, you have to build a scene.
Yeah.
This isn't just
we started off our first couple, it was really like just so empty. And we were like just looking at the video footage as we're editing.
It was literally just a band with some plants in the back.
We're like, a little lights moving. We're like, no, take out the changing color lights. We need add this. We need this. We need that. We came up with this whole theme, you know, we put like 1,000 foot of lights all around
the top. We got Edison lights. Canopy. 1,000 foot all throughout the backyard. So that lights up the backyard pretty good.
And then we did it around the bushes a little bit. We brought some tiki torches in. And then we were calling a campfire session, so we decided to set up some tents and, you know, give it a nice little prop.
Some two-person tents behind the band as they're playing.
Yeah.
The one we did with Neverless, you know, Tommy and Neverless.
Yeah, yeah. Yep.
This is actually his idea, which it was funny. Good on him for coming up with this idea. But to start the three sets of videos that we did for him, to start it, the band would start inside the tents like they're waking up from a slumber. They'd come out and they'd play their first song, their second song, their third song, and at the end of the third video, they all went to bed.
Ah, nice.
Into the tent. Yeah. So slowly just incorporating more and more stuff to kind of build a scene, a little more of a vibe there, adding the tents. Now the bench is being added. It's going to add another cool natural vibe to the campfire session we're excited about.
So how long between day one when you decide you're not going home, or or at least if you're going home, you're coming back tomorrow?
He's even moved in now.
Yeah. I actually live there now. I bought an RV with the wife.
Yeah.
Nice.
This is another separate story. Bought a 38-foot Class A RV.
Hell yeah.
Renovated it, and we basically live on property.
Yeah.
This is commitment.
Yeah. I mean, when we decided, we were both sitting with photography cameras, and we were like, we need to go into video, and we just made the commitments to buy into those cameras.
Literally, that week we said that, I said, okay, I'm maxing out my card.
Yeah,
my maxing B&H, out the card.
My B&H photo.
Well, yeah, we're both maxing
that MFR out, and it was literally $8,000, just like that.
Yeah.
Dang.
I mean, the memory card that we use is like $800 by itself. I mean,
that is a world I'm getting thrown into.
It's unbelievable.
I thought audio was a thing, but man, video is a thing.
It's both a thing.
Yeah.
Mics, the lighting, to the video equipment.
So what was the impetus for that? How did you decide that video, we were going to bite this one off?
As far as going into video?
Yeah.
Because that was the next step in evolution in us.
Yeah.
We saw that.
Well, some people take photos forever. What made you feel like?
Paid.
Yeah.
Nobody's making money. Only a select few.
You can make a little bit, but
you're not running a business. You're gigging, basically.
Unless you're grandfathered into this, like old school photographers.
Let's be honest. I mean,
you're
talking $150,
$250. I mean, we charge like $100 an hour to go shoot some photos, but at the same time, you know, you got to book a lot of hours in to, you know, fill up the schedule and pay back that camera, you know. So, but video, you know, you actually, and people want it so much more. Like right now, like reels are blowing up. Like people a photo on Instagram doesn't really go anywhere, but a reel on Instagram blows up. So everybody wants videos now. So we were seeing the change and what people needed. And we were like, you know what, let's just add video to it.
So the impetus was growth was the name of the game, and that was where growth was.
The only way to go. If we were going to get serious about this, we got to step up.
Yeah.
Okay, so take me back to that time. You max out the cards, gear's on the way. What are you thinking?
We're stoked.
Yeah.
Can't wait till the gear comes in, start effing around with it. Yeah.
What was the first thing you did when you got the big boy toys?
I'm pretty sure I bought everything, the gimbal, everything. Yeah. We just basically just set it up and just started running it and checking it out, basically.
No, I mean, did you do a campfire session first or this pool thing first, or did you take it out to a concert?
The first campfire session we actually did was with our photography cameras.
Yeah.
And that's after we saw that and we're like, we're going to start doing this. But we cannot be doing that.
Yeah.
Okay.
We can't be putting out that quality of video. So we're going to take this seriously.
We were already getting, you know, some gigs for some video, and we were doing it with our photo cameras, which photo cameras nowadays can do video.
Right.
Cannot.
I mean,
he's got a great photo camera. The D810 Nikon.
It's a beast of a photo camera, but not the best at video. And that's why first we were like, we need to make the step up, because if we're getting into video, this is just not going to cut it in the long run. So we went full into cinema cameras. And And that's where,
among other things, too, lighting and Zoom recorder. Because when we go out to do gigs, one thing that we can provide that a lot of people can't is
the live audio.
So literally, not only can we record live audio to put over a reel, which sometimes can be a little more enticing than track audio.
Yeah, but
we can
sure,
also
for
provide
sure.
the band for a small fee or a free if we feel like it.
Yeah.
Their whole set.
Yeah.
So they can have it, and that's sometimes a big selling point too.
Yeah.
Nice.
A lot of bands like that. Be able to have their set from Janis, you know?
Right.
Yeah.
So what was the first thing you did? You took it out to a concert first?
Yeah, we did the Serenation, Reese Brothers.
I think that was all in one night, actually. Yeah, yeah. It was Serenation first.
At Janis, and then went straight down the street to Floridian and jumped on with the Reese Brothers. So we wanted to test out the gear. You know, we were like, hey, let's go shoot a little video here, shoot a little video there.
Yeah, and it came out good. I mean, it came out decent. Yeah. Obviously, we look at it now and we're like, wow, we can do so much better.
Yeah.
But hopefully in a year from now, we're looking at stuff we did today and we're saying, wow, we can do so much better.
Yeah. Right.
There's always room for growth and improvement. Yeah. Every time we get a video, it's never like, oh wow, this is it. Like, this is where we want to be forever. No, like we need to step it up with the transition to Zoom transitions, the hyperlapses, whatever.
Now we're adding hyperlapses to it. That's been a new thing we've been learning. That's pretty cool.
What do you think is the biggest contributing factor for you guys being able to share that kind of drive where you can be critical and not be self-sabotaging?
That's a good question.
Because that happens to a lot of people. They get critical and they're stuck. You can get critical and keep moving forward.
Obviously, we can. There's always self-doubt, though. Like, for myself, just a little insight. I got burnt out for 3 months. I had to take a break. Like, it was just so much gigging and stuff and so much work that I was going into.
Because it is crazy hours, too, when you're talking about event photography and stuff, right?
It is. Yeah, and I got a wife and, you know, and it's tough sometimes to gig the way that we do it. You know, I work a full-time job in the daytime, and then to take off at night and to go do that till all hours of night, it can be tough. But this guy has a drive like the Energizer Bunny. He does not stop.
Sundays might be the one day I take a break. Like, Sunday is my day to sleep. Like, if I don't have to do anything, I will catch up on sleep on Sunday. But other than that, I'm like probably 3 hours a night. Like, I just always working on something. I can't stop.
And are you one of those people that's like, my drive keeps me up? I don't need an alarm clock. My passion keeps me up.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't use an alarm. It's like, I just got to go. I'm always thinking of what I want to do, and the drive, it's just the motivation. It just doesn't stop. And I'd never, it's crazy. Back in the day growing up, like before I got into this, I didn't have that. I literally, you know, doing construction, doing my normal day life, I got lost. So I was just, you know, had no goals, no dreams, no motivation, just living it.
Right.
And then got into this, and we started Nature Studios, and it's been like this ever since, and I can't stop.
So you're able to fuel each other mutually as far as that kind of drive goes.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, I wouldn't say, like, I'm not a self-starter when it comes to this, but he is, like, he's got a fire like no other. Like, no other, honestly. And maybe that's just because, like, I've been doing it a little longer, and maybe I got to that point in time where it's just, like, need to slow down just for a second and take a breath. He has not reached that point yet. He just goes and goes and goes. And that's great, because like with the time that I've needed to take a little bit of time off and a little break for my mental space, he's able to pick up and he's still crushing shit. You know, I'm still helping him edit stuff and I'm still on the back end of stuff. And I'm looking forward to the gigs. We got a lot of stuff coming up here at the end of October. Well, not the end of October. We did, but
yeah.
November is going to be a busy month for us, and December is going to be a busy month. So
it's that time of year around here.
Yeah,
I think it was the summer for me, man. The heat with this summer was just
– it was a little much.
It was soul-sucking and draining. It sucked all the life out of me. That's just crazy.
Yeah, what's it like trying to shoot those shows when it's 110 and you're sitting right in front of me and you're just raining and sweat?
I know last time Pepper was here, like I was just talking about this recently. Like we were working the boat thing with we're doing nautical sounds with Pier Dolphin Cruises on the boat when Stick Figure was here.
Yeah.
We had Elevators on the boat and Pepper.
Nice.
And then we go to the show later that afternoon. So we were working from like 10 o'clock in the morning and then going to a show and working that all the night too. So by the time we worked with the Elevator set, Pepper was coming on. I was like about to pass out. Just had to go sit it out. Like I couldn't even like shoot the show or enjoy the show. And then, you know, Stick came back on and shot some more. But, man, it's
I mean, we're carrying sometimes. Gimbals out there with cinema cameras on it.
Backpacks
this
full
isn't,
of gear.
This isn't like throwing your Fuji film on a gimbal and being able to one finger that mother. You know?
Yeah, right.
This thing is 15 pounds, and you're having to hold it, and not just like hold it and crutch it against your body all the time. You know, sometimes you got
to
be uncomfortable. You know what I mean?
Get the shots, yeah.
And it can definitely be an arm workout. That's for sure.
Your shoulders definitely get a good workout.
Yeah, and people that aren't from Florida or transplants like me and most people, you know, that heat is a thing that it's hard to realize until you're here. Like, the sun sucks it out of you in a special way.
Yeah, sometimes you don't take care of yourself. When you're out there gigging and working like that, you get in this blinders on, and it's just work. I got a job to do. And sometimes you don't feed yourself like you're supposed to or drink water. So it can.
Time goes quick.
It does. And there's only so much time for us to do certain stuff. Like, for example, like we're at Groves Fest last year, and it's our first year running a festival. So we got the in-house media team. I brought my RV. We got the whole crew there. We're going to kill it, right? We did kill it for our first year. But it was a lot of learning curve. Like, literally, I ran cinema camera all weekend. He's out there running drone.
360 cinema camera, trying to help the team out, like, because we had like 8 people with us.
That's the thing. You think you have enough people, and you think you have enough time.
Until you don't.
But you never do, and you're always running to catch up. Yeah. And sometimes you abuse yourself. You know what I mean? You just don't drink the water or eat the food like you're supposed to. And I've learned heavy from that, being a diabetic myself, that I got to take better care of myself when I'm out there. So I'm working on that.
I know. I got to say, like, when I first moved down here, the summer heat was a little bit more intense. I mean, Virginia, it still gets hot, but a little bit more intense down here.
I love how people, like, out of town always say that, like, oh, their weather's always hotter than Florida.
No, I didn't say hotter. I said it's hot.
They're always saying that, though. But, like, people from Arizona, Virginia's so much worse from Arizona.
Virginia can't get hot.
We're in a unique pocket.
Pocket of sweat.
And so I started that boat detailing business and detailing RVs and boats. And I got to say, doing that all day long, I mean, that was brutal. Now coming into doing this, like, you know, holding a camera all day long, like, it's a lot of work, but it's easier.
Good comparison.
It's a different type of work. It's fun to do, for sure.
So you can battle the elements, you can battle some of the random, but what's some of the other challenges people might not think that you face when you go to do an event like that? What's cropped up to you that you didn't see coming?
Just logistics. I mean, from handling stage managers to audio people who think they run the whole venue. Shout out to our boy Matt over there at Janus. Hopefully he hears this. We love Matt. That's sarcasm.
Yeah, Janus is. Janus is.
There's a lot of different challenges. I think people just have this misconception that we're just there dicking off and we're just having fun and we're not working. I think a lot of people think we're
don't
just
realize
there.
What the work entails.
Yeah, we're just there to hang out or to be backstage. Like, I could care less about being backstage. The only reason why I want to be backstage at a big festival is to stay away from people.
Yeah.
Because I'm not in your mind frame.
Right.
The 15,000 there that are here to enjoy the show, I'm not here for that.
Right.
I'm here for work.
Yeah, it is a weird dichotomy.
It is. Yeah. You got drunk people and people have partying and more power to you and awesome, but like I'm just not in that mind frame. So like as far as like that goes, like I think people just have a misconception that maybe our jobs are piece of cake and just fun all the time.
Yeah, right.
It's not.
We like to get into the crowd sometimes, get some crowd shots and stuff, but like you gotta be really careful out there. Like some people, like he's saying, like drunk and they're not worried about your, you know, $10,000 camera, you know, that you're walking around with. I mean, and you know, getting some mosh pit shots are great, but you got to be stand your ground. Like, I've had some stances, you know, that you got to get a perfect stance and put some elbows out to even get a photo, you know. Like, it's not easy. And, you know, you're taking risk, you know. So
so it is work. And it is
definitely work.
It is work. You guys are putting in the work. But it is fun, and you are having the fun. For each of you, maybe individually, maybe together, where's the biggest point of enjoyment? When you get to see that picture back, color corrected, that video back edited, where's the point where it's really welling up in you, I'm doing my thing?
For me, it's the content.
Yeah.
When we put something together that I'm proud of, that's where
I... Like your push and publish moment?
Yeah. When we're making something kick-ass where we give it to a band and the band shares it and they think it's kick-ass, that's what I get out of it.
And it's still the music, too. Like, we love the music. We're passionate about the music. But at the same time, you know, to see you know, what we finish, you know, our finished content, that's really what makes it worth it, you know.
Yeah, for me, it's all about the content. The campfire sesh, we do that stuff for free.
Yeah.
We're not getting paid for that stuff. I just want to grow and continue to put out good shit.
Yeah.
What kind of advantage, if any, do you think that it's had for you guys, being that you are fans and you are passionate of the work that you're capturing, and you're not just predominantly photographers who are like, this is an opportune thing to photograph?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's doing what you love. You know, it doesn't get no better than that. I mean, you love the music. We love working with the cameras. You know, that's definitely a passion right there.
Spurring creativity, I think, and just trying to get something out of ourselves that we didn't know we actually had, I guess. Because when I started this, I didn't know I had a creative bone in my body as far as photography, videography. Not to say that I put out the best content in the world, but I feel like we're pretty creative and we're learning each and every day.
And having a good time doing it.
Yeah.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah. This guy more than me. He has a lot more fun when we go out. He likes to party a little bit, you know. But
You got him around to balance you then.
Yeah,
you know. We're yin and yang, you know. He goes all out. I'm the one that kind of is like, hey, bro, like, take it down a notch.
So take me now a little bit back. We're going to Tarantino again. From the campfire sessions, you start with just the one in the pit. Now you got a 10-foot pit. How many of you have you done? What's the future of that look like?
We did Joey Calderaro. We did when we first got our cinema cameras, we brought in Bada Scott to do our sound. He does our sound. So we gave him a campfire sesh. We did Kana, Kime, and then Kenny Mullins. They came through. That was our first time running with the cinema cameras. That was a learning experience for us and one that we learned a lot from. Our next one was Nevertheless, which I don't know if you were able to check that out.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
That's when we got the full setup. We set up the backdrops. We got the lighting better. We got the camera stations better. So we figured out a lot.
Just like you here and keep the hotel empty, you've had to grow and make tweaks and stuff every single time you do a show and learn from the past show.
I swear in episode 2, Brandon didn't look like a Smurf.
I heard you had a white balance issue.
Yeah, a little bit. That's the blue episode. That was our blue face.
These issues, but you work through them and you learn from them. And that's what we've done. And we are very excited that very soon, November 9th, we got what's his name?
Zeke Lee
coming in.
From Arizona. They're coming through Florida, so we're having them swing by November 9th.
Hopefully we'll have Serenation very soon. We haven't locked that in quite yet, but they're excited to come through, so hopefully we'll get them out there. Yeah. And just continue to build the caliber of bands that are coming out and provide good content for them. I mean, I think there's enough content in this world that both Sugar Shack and us can do the same kind of thing. I think we've differentiated ourselves quite a bit from them. We owe a lot to them. We have nothing but love and respect for those boys and Eddie down there at Sugar Shack and admire the hell out of them.
Reggae scene in general has been really good at feeding itself and all of the boats rising.
You know,
that was one of the things in just a little self-disclosure about it that I loved being a part of it. There is always some competitive nature in things, but there was an overarching cooperative nature, which is really cool.
You definitely see that in this scene. It's an overwhelming amount of love and help from people, for sure.
That's a unique thing to be a part of. So do you try to do the campfire sessions? You try to do them once a month, twice a month, or you just do them when opportunity arises? Or production schedule like?
When we started at first, it was cooler out, right? Yeah. And then I think the one we did with Kenny and them was a little bit warmer out. So we decided, you know what? Let's not do any more campfire sessions when it's 100 degrees out. It makes a little more sense to do this maybe in the cooler months, and then let's go ahead in the summer months turn it over to the pool.
We're redecorating the pool area and getting that set up, so then that way we will run the pool size sesh during the summertime and then the campfire sesh during the cooler.
Nice.
And then on top of that, we'll give a little shout out to Captain Christian at Pier Dolphin Cruises in St. Pete. He's hired us for the past probably 6 months to do his events, and he's kind of doing the same kind of thing, but it's on his boat. He takes about 40 people out, and he hires a band. He's had Brett from Pepper. He's had Jackson from the Elevators, Article Sound System, yep. Cashed Out. A lot of good bands have come out there. Yeah. Surfer Girl, Roots, Ballyhoo. Yeah.
Dang, Roots. Nice.
Yeah. A lot of good bands, but we actually film a thing called Nautical Sounds for him. So basically it's a campfire sesh. So
we got us over there. We got Bascat running sound, just like we do at the campfire sesh, just on the boat now.
On the boat.
And it's an acoustic type thing.
It's an acoustic type thing. Full soul sound, though, hookup. Got Bada, like you said, running sound for us. So we got professional sound being done. You got us running video. So we make some pretty decent videos for that. We've had some interesting times. Oh, the last one went on the Reese Brothers.
Yeah, that was fun. That was fun, yeah.
It was a little choppy, okay?
We got our sea legs that night.
Gimbals do a lot. But they don't help out when you're rocking 5-6 feet.
No.
So the deadliest catch gimbal. We're trying to film this, and we're bouncing like this. Like Charlie's playing his drums, his snare's bouncing, rolling over. Kevin had to sit down because he was rocking too much, and it was crazy.
It was a fun time.
That's fun.
It was fun. And then editing the footage, we had to, make the footage to where nobody's getting seasick watching this.
That was going to be my next question. So can you use that?
Yes, we ended up using it. Warp stabilizers are a hell of a drug, and they work out very good, I guess, for what we did, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, we stabilize it with our gimbals as best we can, and then we use some stabilizers in Premiere Pro, and, that helps finish it up, but we made it work.
Very cool.
Yeah.
So will you continue to do those throughout?
Yeah, he hires us to come out on the boat.
He sets them up on a regular schedule.
That's like a year-round thing?
That's a monthly type thing. That's more frequent than our campfire sessions have been. And that's just because we're ever doing so much work out there. We're always doing work to kind of improve it out there. And he kind of wants everything to be done before we basically do it. You know what I mean? We want to kind of be... make all our mistakes the last couple times and fix them before we do another one.
Yeah.
But like I said, November 9th, we're excited to have Zeke Lee out, and we're going to be doing, our third one?
Yeah.
And then soon after that, I'm hoping that till about February, we'll be booking them up probably once every 2 weeks, 3 weeks.
Yeah. We'll definitely at least have probably one a month during these cooler times of the year.
But we're bouncing. We're bouncing with Campfire Sesh, with Nautical Sounds, with our gigs that we got coming up. So it's like there's only so many days in a calendar.
That was going to be my next question. What part of all of these things you're doing do you want to prioritize? Because you inevitably have to.
Brian prioritizes everything. He does everything. Me, I pick and choose.
Yeah.
I pick and choose what I do.
I'm like, this is what's on the schedule. You let me know if you're going to join me.
We still, from time to time, do free stuff. You know what I mean? We're not always getting paid. Sometimes, like the Pepper Show and Slightly Stupid and Fortunate Youth, you kind of got to do some free stuff to get work sometimes to put out some good content. So he's been doing some stuff. He's been gigging lately pretty strong. Yeah. Stick Figure he did recently, Jackson's Elevators.
All kinds of stuff.
So are you hoping to be able to get some of those bands to, while they're here on tour, come down and do
the campfire session? We would love to, but we also realize that Sugar Shack has set up an established thing. And a lot of these big bands, when they're running through, they're going to make that stop down there.
Right.
Which is perfectly fine.
Yeah.
Some of the bands don't have an extra day while they're in this area, so we can't catch them right away, but we're hoping to catch them.
We take what we can get.
Yeah.
I was going to say, not everybody's on the same level or the, you know.
Yeah.
And scheduling too. I mean,
when they started out, I'm pretty sure they didn't start out booking, getting the bands down there that they got.
You know what I mean?
They started out a lot smaller and they built up great content like they have now.
Right.
And that speaks for itself. I'm sure they don't have to sell anything. They basically say, hey, you guys want to come through, do a sesh? And they get the bands come through, you know?
Yeah.
They've built that up.
I was going to say, that's a matter of being in the game for a minute.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. I mean, they've got 10 years, 8 years?
Over 10 years now.
I've been following them since the beginning.
I love them. Like, they're amazing.
I don't know if you were able to get out to regularize up the last couple of years since.
I don't know what the last one was I was at, to be honest. But
Sugar Shack started their own stage, basically. And it started out small. A little tiny stage, still putting out great content. But last year, they literally have almost the same size stage as the Vibe stage, where they're doing their own content and stuff. I mean, those guys
are doing like acoustic stuff.
Oh yeah, yeah. They're doing their Sugar Shack sessions. I can never say that.
I know it is a tongue twister.
I can never say that. They're doing that at Reggae Rise Up, and they're doing a fantastic job. And hopefully, eventually, later on down the road, we can do something like that. You know right. what I mean? We can grow a team.
We run media for a couple events like Canna Feast and
Florida Groves,
and like Canna Feast has talked about setting up a little size stage, but we just haven't really gotten it to, you know, really.
It's always a matter of time.
It's a lot. You know, I mean, like, you know, just like we've, you know about it, it's just a lot to set up. And can we have it all ready in time? If not, then, you know, not going to do it. So.
And another thing Sugar Shack has an advantage is I believe they've got a bunch of guys that are like-minded, kind of like me and Brian are.
But takes a while.
It's so hard to build up that team because, like I just said, we don't always get paid, so we have to be willing to work for free. Not everybody is willing to hustle.
Yeah.
And to work for free.
Yeah, that was like where we came to Nature Studios. If you're not willing to jump on one here and there for free and, you know, hustle, go the extra mile, then you're not going to really be able to work out in this. Like, everybody on this team hustles.
Well, that's having your end goal clear between the two of you.
Yeah.
So how often do you manage that? Do you got to sit down every couple of weeks and say, wait a minute, make sure we're still pointing the same direction?
I think we always keep each other on each other's toes as far as what we want to do. Me particularly, I'm pretty – he handles a lot of the scheduling and stuff and booking and stuff like that. So I stay on him about that and making sure that we keep our schedule full. And, it's basically just putting the blinders on.
Yeah.
Focusing forward, ever forward, never backwards.
Yep.
Yeah, right. Well, if a shark stops swimming, he dies, right?
Exactly.
That's right,
That's what I hear.
Yeah, I've heard that. And you can't put him in a square tank.
Yeah.
So what does the next couple of months look like then? We're heading into your busy season.
We are, actually.
Yeah. We're talking about probably doing some article galleries, recaps for the Reggae Rise Up events coming up. We got some the Campfire Sesh coming up. We got Fortune Youth coming up.
Canna Feast. We got November 18th.
Canna Feast, that's going to be
the sixth annual?
Canna
Feast, something like that. Brian Bruno throws a great event every single year.
Shout out Brian.
Brings in a lot of great bands, a lot of great vendors, and he's fortunate.
And a big, huge heart.
We fortunately have formed a good relationship with him, and he takes good care of us every year. And hopefully we're doing the same for him, and we continue to build a good relationship with him.
So November 18th, that's going to be a good one. That's in Port Charlotte. So that's going to be fun.
Always a blast.
Yeah.
And then hopefully Florida Groves back in March. We got a wedding in April.
Yeah, we're actually going up North Carolina in April for a wedding. So
and that's another thing. We're trying to just not do music, but weddings and commercials. And
We're actually doing a coffee shop November 2nd.
Yeah.
We're doing a coffee shop here in St. Pete, doing a little video shoot for them.
Cool.
Yeah.
We did a commercial a while back for this guy who developed this all-terrain wheelchair, basically.
Eco Rover.
So we did a commercial with him early on, and we've done a couple commercials, some real estate work.
Yeah.
We're looking to expand not only into music, but into everything else that's going to pay the bills.
Everything that needs marketing, we can pretty much help out. So
it's kind of one of those moments where when you saw growth had to be through video, now growth is absolutely through expanding beyond.
Yeah, it's not through music. Let that be clear. Us being successful is not going to be through music. It's going to be through the other ancillary things that
music
we can do.
Is what we
How
love.
Broad of a net you can toss.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly. Because those things, honestly, they will pay the bills.
Yeah.
There's only so much you can charge. You know what I mean? You're working with an opening band. There's only so much getting paid.
Most of these bands,
it's a tight world. You know, it's a tight budget world.
They got to break their budget in between all their band members, you know. So it's
not to mention, team that they got on the road with them as well.
Oh,
so
it's a
lot that goes, you know, divided up. So you can't get but so much out of that. So
Everybody knows the touring musician pie is getting cut mad thin.
So we'll go out there and honestly, we'll throw out deals that it's hard for them to say no to.
Yeah.
But that's back to your drive to work.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, basically.
So let me get you out here one curious question that just came up to me, and then I got a fun question for you. The curious question that just came up to me while we were saying this is, have you ever thought about working with, like, metal bands, since we have such a huge...
We work with The Offspring.
Yeah.
We have such a huge metal world around here, and like, you know, it used to be a common thing for metal bands to do acoustic stuff, and it was like, you know, that's how MTV Unplugged came to be.
True.
Yeah.
It used to be a cool thing. You know, you could, have you ever thought about doing a campfire session with like a metal band?
Definitely. Well, kind of, I mean, Nevertheless is not really metal. They're more like punk.
Yeah, they're skate punk.
No, I'm definitely down.
Yeah, we're down. We don't discriminate.
We're doing
these bands because we kind of have an in with a lot of these bands.
We know
a lot of these bands, but, so it's easier to contact and get them on the same page as us. But yeah, metal shows would be awesome to do.
Well, everybody in the K the family that's seeing this, and we'll talk about this, and we've had a bunch of musicians in that I know could do incredibly cool acoustic stuff with you. Maybe
that'd be awesome.
Maybe we got to get them in.
We'd love to. Hey, if there's anybody listening, you guys are interested in coming out and doing a campfire session,
contact us.
Hit us up on Instagram. Send us a message. We'll be more than happy to have you out.
I don't know why they hadn't thought of me until I was looking at you whilst talking.
Yeah. I mean, I guess the reason why we probably haven't thought about it is because the vibe. Like, when you're thinking of a campfire sesh acoustic, you're thinking about like Kumbaya around the fire, nice and calm. But now that you mention it, I mean, a big-ass bonfire.
We can raise it.
And in the reworking of, you know, how metal bands can, a lot of their songs started on acoustic guitars and things like that. So they strip back to that more personal nature that reggae music has, that a lot of music
some of these metal bands, you know, actually a lot of these metal bands have that soft, like, you know, relaxing song too, you know, like the
more of a mood than always aggression.
Yeah, exactly. You know,
so appreciate that, man. Yeah, shout out.
Yeah,
we'll definitely have to think about that.
That crossed my mind.
Yeah, I mean, hip hop too. I mean, why not? No. I mean, I don't know if we'd ever mess with country. I don't know, but I'd love to mess with some 90s country, like some Garth Brooks. But today's country is just like, I don't know, it's too poppy for me.
Well, funny you should say this, and I guess since you said that, I'm going to ask you how you feel about this. I was in a waiting room the other day, and Bada Scott actually commented on this. And when I said, and I never really post on Facebook, but I had to post on Facebook, I'm sitting in a waiting room, and these country songs keep playing, and every single one of them seems like a love letter to alcohol.
Yeah.
Every single one.
Yeah,
it was like, man, your wife leaving you, your dog leaving you, these just don't hit like they used to.
No, they don't, man.
I was like, what is going on? So, okay, I'm not the only one recognizing that, I guess. So let me get you out of here on something fun. You guys can answer independently or together. I don't make the rules. I just ask the questions.
Mm-hmm.
If you could set up a dream gig to photograph, I'll give you three bands, not a whole festival. That's too easy. If you could set up a dream night of photographing or videography, your whole documentation of a gig, what's the dream gig for you to document?
Oh, geez, I'll let you go first. I mean, hold on. Let me go first. We did kind of have that night.
Oh, yeah.
We were randomly sitting around editing video one night and just received.
That was a dream come true.
Received. Shout out to Chance, the shooter, Chance Radkowski. He works a lot with Article Sound System and Cashed Out. Good friend of ours. Killer video work, him and Justin for Second Mile Media.
Nice.
We look up to them. But basically, he was busy. He could not take this gig. So he referred us. And luckily, he did. We got a message from their social media creator or content creator. From The Offspring, who does work with like Maxbox 20 and just Sum 41, a lot of these big bands. So literally within an hour, we went from no gig to a gig in Tampa at the Hard Rock shooting for The Offspring.
Yeah.
Like, dang, completely out of nowhere.
Yeah, like that was crazy. Yeah.
But I mean, so that was like a dream come true for sure. I mean, just getting that opportunity.
So we both got to knock one off the bucket list with that one, for sure.
I think the next one I'm looking forward to, the opportunity, which I don't know when I'll get it or how I'm going to get it, but Cypress Hill I want to do, like, for sure.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, I'm a big fan of Cypress Hill.
Nice.
Yeah.
We did have the opportunity, some randomness at Reggae Rise Up. Sublime with Rome hired us.
Oh, yeah. That was.
So we did some work with them last year. That was pretty cool. That's actually our highest video on our YouTube is about 20,000 views. Yeah. And we're small YouTube. Like, we only got 340 subscribers. Like, we just started it. So to have a 20,000 views.
Right. And that first year is an odd year.
It is. It's very odd. Yeah. Because you're trying to put out content and build it up, but it just doesn't seem like it's ever going fast enough.
No, consistency is your best weaponry.
Definitely. Dream shoot. That's a good question, man. That's hard to answer, honestly, right off the top of my head. I've done it.
That's like, true too.
We're doing it.
Yeah.
Like, to say that I would be able to, when I first started listening to this genre of music and going to Rise Up to work with Fortunate Youth or you know, to work with a Pepper.
Right.
To work with Sublime with Rome, to work with an Offspring. Like, those are pinch me moments. So I feel like I've already been able to live that.
We've got photos of, like, Nas, Tupac, you know.
Wu-Tang.
Oh, yeah, Wu-Tang. Or not Tupac. I said
Busta Rhymes. Yeah, he said Tupac. Yeah. I'm like, what?
He's been on news a lot lately, so I was just thinking about that. But,
Lupe Fiasco. Lupe that was a Fiasco, big one for you.
That was huge. Yeah. I even got to hang out with him out there show. Like, that nice. Was, yeah. I mean, so many dreams come. Like, it's like every year, I'm like, this can't be topped. And it does every year, again and again. I'm like, it just blows my mind.
Well, you guys threw the curveball question, the curveball answer. The dream gig is the one I'm doing.
Yeah, we're doing it right now, man.
Sure. Yeah, that's it.
I mean, hell, it was a dream to go to Utah with you guys for 2 years in a row. I mean, the blast that we had in Utah was awesome. The first year, it was awesome, but to set up my tent and my air mattress, and then 15 minutes later, I'm sleeping on River Rock, was not fun for 2 days. But the next year, though, when we rented that Real World house, and it was like reggae Real World, like, that was awesome. We had like 14 people in that house, and it was like
reggae Real World. It was that awesome. Sounds like a good idea right there.
It does, doesn't it? But we had a blast, and I'm living my dream right now, honestly. This is fun what we're doing, so I hope we get to continue doing it.
We never thought I'd be here, like, and I didn't know this was going to get created, but this, like you said, it kind of fell into your lap. This really kind of happened. Like, I told Bada I wanted to shoot bands, and then, like I said, within like a month, I was, you know, with Top Shelf Music covering bands every weekend. And then, you know, we've started Nature Studios and we're working this every weekend.
Yeah, Bada's got to give a lot of credit to Bada. And I tell this to him all the time, but the words that he spoke into existence, because what do they say about words? Words are spells.
Yeah.
So basically he taught me to basically speak and manifest what I want in my life.
Yeah.
And I'm getting goosebumps right now talking about it. But, like, I owe a lot to Bada Scott. He's a dear friend of ours, and
he helped bring us all together. So he's really a big part of Nature Studios for sure.
Yeah, that's awesome. Funny you should say he was here Tuesday. And he and I were having the talk that or sharing the sentiment that you got to see it in your head to hold it in your hand.
Yep.
Yeah.
So it's
funny, true.
So big shout out Bada Scott. Yeah.
Great, big shout out Bada Scott and Paul B. King.
Yeah, of course.
Paul is a great guy and. I don't know if I'd be doing what I'm doing right now if it wasn't for Paul.
Yeah, he still helps us out all the time. Like, we want to work with him all the time. Like, we're talking about doing some video shoot for the street team coming up. So,
whatever Paul needs, he gets.
Yeah. You know, symbiotic around, man.
Yeah.
And Paul's doing his thing now too. You know, he left Summer Survivors, but he's found this new direction and path in his life that I think he's really loving.
He was just in here a couple weeks ago.
Damn.
He's actually the episode we're releasing Sunday.
Awesome.
Yeah.
Nice.
Yeah. That's one of the good things that we've been really trying to do with Keep the Hotel Empty is make room literally and figuratively for everyone to be together and network. Yeah. And you know how I am.
Connecting.
This symbiosis is a big deal for me.
So. Yeah, I love what you got going on here, man. I appreciate you having us out here.
Appreciate
it's been a lot of fun.
Fuck, it's been great
to see your beautiful faces.
I appreciate you guys, man. I had an absolute blast hearing from you. We've got more to come. We're gonna do some more campfire sessions and we're gonna get a metal sesh kicking too.
I'm looking forward to it.
I appreciate it, gentlemen. Thank you, brother.
Thank you.
Thank you, man.
Good to see you, brother.
Hell yeah.